Hello, everyone. My name is Caleb Walgren, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 17 of Brody Sports Talk. I'm your host, Caleb Walgren, and oddly enough, I'm the only one here today. Derek was having some technical difficulties. We wanted to go ahead and get an episode out before the Week 1 NFL kickoff because we are, of course, an NFL podcast, and we want to have the best for our audience every time. Obviously, this puts us in a bit of a pickle, but it is one of those things where we're going to do our best with it and make sure that we are just bringing the best takes in and out of the podcasting world and making sure that we are here for you, our listeners. So buckle up, listen in, and let's have some good fun on this. What I'm going to say is going to be a shorter episode of Brody Sports Talk for sure, because I cannot talk for two. Derek and I have a great dynamic. I'm going to miss you, Derek. I hope that you listen and that you enjoy, but this is not normally Caleb Sports Talk. I cannot host this on my own. So first things first, as we were going through and getting to the regular season, we were going to switch up a little bit of the format. And one of the things that I wanted to go ahead and call out as far as a Brody spotlight was the fact that it is official that the ACC is going to take three more teams as they are acquiring SMU, which is Southern Methodist Mustangs in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They are also getting the Cal Bears, that's on the West Coast, and of course Stanford, the Stanford Cardinal, also way out on the West Coast. Both of those last two, formerly of the Pac-12, SMU is currently in the American. Not a whole lot of excitement for all of those things, but it's one of those things where it'll just be interesting to see how all of this matches up. The ACC has already taken a little bit of heat. Some of the better teams out there are wanting to try to get out of the contract that kind of has them in a stranglehold right now, namely Florida State, Clemson, and North Carolina. And that really is just one of those things where Florida State did show up. They had a great game on Sunday night where they beat LSU handily, especially in the second half. But to get to Derek's main point in the Brody spotlights, because mine was that the ACC was taking three, which is great because they're a basketball conference. So for them to take three just feels right. But Derek's take was that parity in college football is back. You look at games like Monday night's game between Clemson and Duke, and the fact that Clemson basically got showed up and they lost 28-7 on their home, at Duke, but still, we're talking about Duke. This is not a team that is known for winning a top 10 game. The last time I've seen Duke win a top 10 game was probably when I was playing NCAA football 14 with them back in the day. Like, Duke is not a powerhouse school. So that parity was there. Another big one, Wyoming upset Texas Tech in double overtime, 35-33. Tech took an early lead. They were one of those teams that was just on the outside of the top 25, but couldn't keep it together against a feisty Wyoming Cowboys. Looking through some of these scores, Texas State also had a huge upset win over Baylor at Baylor, where they won 42-31. I thought that was a fantastic game for them to take. And it just goes to show that there's nothing set in stone. There's nothing locked in. Any given week, any given weekend, you're going to see some of the top teams go down and some of the teams that are on the bottom trying to climb out. And then the take here from the wide world of sports is that the U.S. Open seems like it is currently on a collision course as Novak Djokovic won yesterday in straight sets, 6-1, 6-4, 6-4 over Taylor Fritz. That puts him into the semifinals. It seems that he is very likely to end up facing Carlos Alcaraz, the young Spaniard who won Wimbledon. They faced each other at the French Open, which Djokovic took. And it just seems like they're going to face each other again. Alcaraz and Djokovic, I don't know if it's somewhat inevitable. If they're in the bracket, they're going to face each other. But it's something to keep an eye on in the world of tennis, as Alcaraz is the new up-and-comer and Djokovic is the legend that is still trying to hang on. Whereas when Federer and Nadal were trying to hang on, Djokovic was older, but he was still coming up and getting some more of those majors. And now it doesn't seem like he has a stranglehold on them anymore. Next, one of the things that we're bringing in is our GOAT of the week. The GOAT of the week is something where we can go and make a positive, negative, different type of comment about any one player or any specific type of thing that we really want to draw attention to from the world of sports this past week. I'll go ahead and get things started. I called it out a little bit, but Baylor losing to Texas State was a real shocker. I did not think that there was any specific way that they should have folded in that game. They should have just taken care of business, showed up, and been able to beat Texas State. But it's just one of those things with the transfer portal the way it is. Any team can go get a recruit that maybe was a backup at a high-level university, get them in, and all of a sudden take things on their own and run with it. College football is a very, very weird place, but it is a very exciting place as well. One of the people who probably had the most excitement this past week was Travis Hunter, and he also plays for the Colorado Buffaloes. Now, this is a team I don't usually like saying a whole lot of kind things about. I know Derek took them in a Brody bet, so he does owe me a handshake or a high five when he returns next week. But the Buffaloes upset the Horned Frogs 45-42, and Travis Hunter just played a phenomenal game. He had 11 catches for 119 yards, but he also played electric on the defensive side of the ball, where he had 3 tackles and a pass deflection. And, oh yeah, he had an interception as well. And when you're talking about a game like this where it is just a 3-point game, that interception came in the red zone. He knew what the wide receiver was doing. He played well over 100 snaps in this game. I don't think I saw him resting for any specific snaps. And I was really impressed at what Travis Hunter was able to do. Let's go ahead, let's switch it up, and let's go to the NFL for a little bit, because Thursday Night Football is coming. If you remember, there is at Daily Grind Pod that we are doing a collaboration with. So you're going to want to make sure you catch the Thursday night game between the Lions and the Chiefs. It seems to be getting more interesting by the day. Travis Kelce hyperextended his knee, so we don't know if he's going to be there. Chris Jones is still holding out, so we don't know if he's going to be there. Obviously, I would love for Jones to not hold out and be able to play, but I also want him to get paid for what he's worth. And I want Travis Kelce to be healthy, because I always want the best players to be able to go out on the field. But in this, we both took a matchup out of this game that we are looking forward to and keeping an eye on. And when I looked on here, Derek's is that he wants to see how Sky Moore does against the secondary of the Detroit Lions. And I think that that's a great one to call out. There's a lot of things that are going on with Sky Moore. He's in his second year, you know, especially if Travis Kelce is out, they've got to get someone who can get the ball in their hands and do more with it. And when you look at the secondary of the Lions, it was really rebuilt this past year. You have Emmanuel Mosley, Cameron Sutton, CJ Gardner-Johnson. They spent a high second round pick on Brian Branch. So there's a lot of things that they're trying to do to get that going again. And if Sky Moore can't get it done against a Lions secondary that really has been struggling lately, I think that it is going to be a telltale sign of a down year for Sky Moore. And it might not be that the sky's the limit for Sky Moore, if you know what I mean. As far as I was concerned, I was keeping an eye also on that defensive side of the ball against Kansas City, because let's face it, we all know Kansas City is good and they know ways to get so many points. But one thing that we talked about when we did our AFC West preview is that they do have two new offensive tackles. Donovan Smith is out there at left tackle. Jawan Taylor is in at right tackle. They haven't played NFL games against a full roster yet. You know, this is the first regular season game, and Jawan Taylor and Donovan Smith are not Andrew Wiley and Orlando Brown Jr. You know, I do think this is a bit of a downgrade, and they're going to have to go up and try to stop Aiden Hutchinson. Now, I feel like we've seen some pass rushers go out and have fantastic rookie years and not necessarily spring back the second year either. So that's another reason I want to keep an eye on this matchup. Does Aiden Hutchinson get one or two sacks against Travis Kelce and really cement himself as a star in the NFL, not just a high draft pick in the NFL? Or is it a rough game where he can't get past Smith or Taylor and he just is trying to struggle to get past that Chiefs offensive line, which, as we've said before, typically has been one of the best offensive lines in the league, except for the Super Bowl where they had both of their starting tackles hurt and they couldn't block the Bucs. But that is it as far as Thursday night football is concerned. I do know that last time I had checked, the spread was the Chiefs were favored by 6.5. Personally, I don't know that I like that line anymore, but it's probably moved due to some of the recent injury concerns. Let's go to our NFL stock watch, though, because teams are always going up, going down, trying to find different things that they do. And when I looked here, Derek put in that he is buying this week that Houston is going to make things sweat it out and fight for wins. So I love this as a comment, because if you don't realize, Houston was one of the teams that really kind of pushed the Eagles to the limit last year. And they have upgraded. You know, they didn't lose a whole bunch of talent that they weren't expecting to lose. Yes, Brandon Cooks left. They knew that was going to happen. They still have Damian Pierce. They went and got CJ Stroud with the second overall pick in the draft. Will Anderson, of course, is coming in as a right defensive end. He'll be wearing number 51 this week as the Texans are going to come out and play some great ball. They're playing their first game against the Baltimore Ravens. I believe the Ravens are a 10-point favorite. It just goes to show that the Texans are coming out and trying to show up. They've done a lot of work on their offensive line. They have Will Anderson. They've went out, they got Jimmy Ward, and they still have Derek Stingley, another Derek who knows how to spell his name correctly, back in the NFL secondary for the Texans. It's going to be something where everything is going to matter. Every snap's going to matter. The Texans are going to fight and claw and make people beat them. They're not just going to be a team that you circle and say, we should beat the Texans. They're feisty. They've been feisty, and they will continue to be feisty. Speaking of teams that I think are feisty and are going to find ways to win games, I'm calling out the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of people have them as one of the lower teams in the AFC North this coming year, but I'm looking at it and saying, look, we at least have consistency there in Pittsburgh. Baltimore, there's a new offensive coordinator. I don't know that I trust it. Cleveland, I really think Kevin Stefanski is on the hot seat and that it's just not going to be a great year in Cleveland. I also look to the Cincinnati Bengals and say they lost both of their starting safeties. I don't think that we're going to see them win as much, not because their offense isn't elite. Their offense is still elite, but I think their defense has maybe taken a step back from elite to acceptable. So with all of that being said, I think the Steelers are going to find ways to win games. They went out. Broderick Jones is there. They've got better offensive line depth. It's another year of experience for Kenny Pickett, Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren is great backfield depth. I love what they did in getting Darnell Washington, the big, tall tight end out of Georgia. And you know that that defense is going to be solid. It always is. It always has been. It will continue to be under Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin. Patrick Peterson's back there now. Mink Fitzpatrick's there. Levi Wallace. There's a, to be fair, there's a been a little bit of people that have just been cast aside from other teams that they're going to be able to make use of. I do love Larry Ogunjobi coming over, and I think that there's just going to be a lot of things that happen the right way for the Steelers, and Deontay Johnson and George Pickens are going to have a fantastic year, and I hope Allen Robinson is able to rebound as well. Next up, the teams that we're selling a little bit now. Derek was putting a big for sale sign. They're having a fire sale. Maybe not that big, but he is saying that the New York football Giants are going to come back. They are going to come down to earth from last season. They started last season on a tear, if you remember. I believe they were 7-1, and then they finished 9-7, crashed back to earth a little bit. I think their first half of the schedule is harder this year. I think that they did do certain things to improve their team. I love Darren Waller coming in. I think that he's going to be a solid receiver for them at the tight end position. I also know that Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley are both back. But I also feel like it's at least a little questionable. I don't love everything that they have in the secondary, despite the fact that they went and spent some picks there with Deontay Bakes and Trey Hawkins III coming in to be starting corners. And it's just going to be interesting. You know, can Aziz Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau generate enough pressure? They made big trades during the preseason for Isaiah Simmons and Boogie Basham. I don't think they trust their defense as much as they would like to. I don't think that those are just making moves, but the defense has to be excellent, because when you look at that offense, there's not a star wide receiver that you are scared about. You're looking at a starting receiver group of Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, and Paris Campbell, with Jalin Hyatt, Sterling Shepard, and Wandale Robinson back there as round two. This is a team that needs to be able to run the ball. They need to be able to get early leads, and they need to be able to run play action. And maybe they can do some zone reads with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, but you also don't want Daniel Jones to get hurt, because behind him is Tyrod Taylor. And let's just face it, Tyrod Taylor has been okay, but he is not someone that you want to build your team around. People have had the opportunity. They continue to pass on it. My sale to start the year is I'm doing a big sale on the Los Angeles Rams. I think especially with some of the news that came out of Minnesota this past week, that Cooper Kupp isn't even with the team right now. He is up in Minnesota, visiting a specialist up there about his injury. I can't remember if it's a knee injury or a leg injury or where exactly it's at, but when you're seeing a specialist, and that was reported last week, and you're still there seeing a specialist, this very much makes me feel like this is a, maybe like a Michael Thomas, whether it was a 2021 season where he was, hey, he could come back and play week one. Oh, wait, he didn't play any games the entire year. And when you take Cooper Kupp out of that offense and you're looking at the talented receivers of Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, Ben Skowronek, Puka Nacua, and DeMarcus Robinson, I'm not excited. I do think Tyler Higbee is going to be in for a bigger year if that is the case. I think that they do have some solid talent on the defensive side of the ball, even though you do have to keep an eye out for Brown the third and Brown the fourth on the starting defensive line. That will be confusing. I don't see enough things for the Rams today to make me feel like they have it figured out. I think that it is going to be messy. I think it's going to be a long season. And I think Sean McVay, at least in part, is going, why did I not go join a broadcast booth when I could? So let's go ahead and let's go to, as I mentioned earlier, our high fives and handshakes for our Brody bets. Derek, I gave him a win and three losses last week because he did say OSU minus a bunch over Central Arkansas. It wasn't exactly the cleanest game, but OSU did at least double up and an extra point over Central Arkansas as they won 27-13. His three losses, though, were Colorado beating TCU 45-42, as I mentioned earlier. He did have New Mexico covering 38.5 against Texas A&M, but A&M ended up covering that and a little more. By 42, they won 52-10. And then Miami, Florida against Miami of Ohio was his wild card. He took Miami of Ohio plus 17 and a half in the Battle of Miami's or Miami's, depending on if you're from Oklahoma or not. But Miami of Florida won 38-3. So it was a pretty tricky game for Miami of Ohio. The Fighting Ben Roethlisbergers did not find a way to get that win. As far as I was concerned last week in the freshly husked corn, I did take Nebraska plus 7 at Minnesota. I also said I thought they could pull up the upset outright. They did end up losing 13-10. They had 4 turnovers in the game. It was an awful ending to the game as a Nebraska fan, but they did do pretty great. I will also say that Purdue, I had them as a 3.5-point favorite over Fresno State. They ended up losing by 4. It was a close one. I did take Utah State plus 25 at Iowa. I said, does Iowa even know how to score 26 points to cover? Iowa scored 24, but Utah State scored 14, so I did cover that one. And I took Boise State plus 14.5 at Washington. Washington won 56-19. I didn't do the exact math on that because it wasn't close. So let's go ahead and look ahead to week 2 of the college football season and week 1 of the NFL season and see what we have there. Derek's Orange Power, or America's Brightest Orange, the Oklahoma State Cowboys are traveling to future Big 12 rival Arizona State to take on the Sun Devils. And Oklahoma State is a 3.5-point underdog on the road. The over-under on that game is 53. He said, who needs defense? This game is going to be high scoring. I like it. He took the over 53 on that one. Just to continue with the college theme here, I did go ahead and took my freshly husked corn. Of course, I have to pick my Nebraska Cornhuskers. They are plus 3.5 at Colorado with an over under 57. I'm going to go ahead and say Nebraska plus the 3.5. Less turnovers this week, more running the ball. There's some tape on Colorado. They didn't look that good on the defensive line, and Nebraska was able to run pretty well against a good front seven in Minnesota. So I think Nebraska plus the 3.5, they should be able to keep this to a field goal game. Next, going to the NFL with our favorite teams, Broncos country, let's ride. Derek is taking the Broncos minus 3.5 as they play a team that should be out of the NFL in the Las Vegas Raiders. No issues there. Let's ride, Derek. Let's ride indeed. As far as the cheeseheads are concerned, I took the Packers plus 1 at Chicago. There's an over-under 43 on that game. In general, the Packers have beaten the Bears. I believe it is 8 straight times. I don't think the Bears have improved that much this offseason. I think that the Packers still have a lot of great things on their team. Jordan Love will rise to the occasion, it's my belief. So I'm going to take the Packers to cover and probably win outright, because if you're taking a plus one cover, you should just win outright. To continue through other favorites that we liked in the world of sports this weekend, Derek is taking the Seattle Seahawks minus 5.5 against the Rams. No arguments from me. You already heard me dog the Rams multiple times today. Give me the Seahawks in Lumen Field, home of the 12s, to be able to go out there and win that game by at least a touchdown. And for my fantasy teams, I hope it's a DK Metcalf touchdown. My favorite, I went back to college. Baylor really let me down with their loss against Texas State at home. They lost that one by 11. They're playing Utah this week. Utah just beat Florida and embarrassed them. Utah, again, this will be a future Big 12 game, but Utah minus 7 at Baylor just felt too easy. I had to take that one and run with it. Going to underdogs, Derek had a great underdog as he is taking Tulane plus 7 against Ole Miss. They're both ranked. It's one of the few games between top 25 teams this coming week. So make sure you catch an eye on what happens down there in a battle for Louisiana and Mississippi. Plus, you know that our guest correspondent, Sean Morgan, who is not here with us at this point recording, we'll be happy to see Lane Kiffin get a loss if that is possible as well. My underdog, because we do take an underdog every week, we love to see those underdogs score. I went ahead and took the Jets plus 2.5 against the Bills. Aaron Rodgers, primetime, new Jets team, new Jets system. I just feel like they're going to find a way to get it done. and have this one feel special for Rodgers to start his tenure there in New York. And if it doesn't, let's be honest, we get the drama of what the heck is going to happen from there. Last but not least, both of us picked a wild card this week. Derek looked at the under for Iowa State, which is in Ames, Iowa, home of the Cyclones. The under is 36.5, and that's what he is taking. Let's face it, there's been a lot of suspensions on both sides because both of those teams were involved in underage gambling issues. So I don't blame Derek for taking an under because I just don't feel great about either team right now. Go Cyclones, win that Cy-Hawk trophy because I don't like Iowa. And my wild card, I went back to the NFL and I picked a game that I think is going to score a lot of points. And that is I took the Dolphins Chargers over 51. You know, we've got Tua, Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett. I'm excited to see these teams take the field. And I think this is one where they go out and they score a lot of points. High scoring game, high scoring contest. They go for touchdowns. They play aggressively. Brandon Staley, Mike McDaniel coaching up those teams to get probably both of them into the 30s, as I think this crushes that over of 51. I do want to thank you all for listening to this episode of Brody Sports Talk. Make sure that you go to our Linktree, linktr.ee/BrodyTalk, to find our podcast. You can subscribe to us there with Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, we have a connection to it. Also, we just want to say, you are the best fans in podcasting. Please follow us on Twitter at Brody Talk. Interact with us there. Have fun with us there. We are looking forward to a wonderful football season. I will say that this episode, Derek, I missed you, buddy. I can't believe that I was able to ramble for about 27-ish minutes at this point without you. I'm glad that you were able to put your information in the notes despite your technical issues. As always, love you, dude, and I hope that you have a great Wednesday as you hear this. And I feel like that's wrapping it up. I can't believe that as this releases, we're going to be roughly about 38, 39 hours from when the NFL season kicks off, which is fantastic. I can't get enough of it. You know that I will be keeping an eye on things on Thursday night for between the Lions and Chiefs, and Sunday is just going to be a marvelous day of football. So on behalf of the Brodies, my name is Caleb Walgren, and we are signing out. Later.